So my sermon today is called Almost. Almost. Isn't that a word that you maybe like to hear or maybe you don't like to hear? Almost. I know in the riding in the car, I'm like, we're almost there. How long is almost? We're almost there. I mean, I don't know many of you went on big trips when y'all were kids and like, we're almost there. 5 hours later, we're almost there. It feels like. It feels that way. It's not always that way. But I remember a story about my dad. And I was riding the car with him. Now, if unfortunately, very few of you met my dad. But let me give you this is probably the best representation that I can say here at CLCC of how you would picture my dad. Now, this is before the accident and everything like that that he had, which he had a stroke and he was in a wheelchair, confined to that. But probably the best way I could describe my dad before the accident was this. Take Pastor Kurt. We all love Pastor Kurt, don't we? Yeah, he's a great guy. He's great. You should love him. He's your husband, so that's good. She's clapping. Yeah. She loves her husband. That's good. That's what we want, you know? Kisses? No? Okay. All right. All right. Let's not get too crazy. Let's not get too crazy. But take Pastor Kurt, his gifts of communication, and his gifts of encouragement. Put that with Pastor Steve. So pair that with Pastor Steve. We love Pastor Steve too. I do. You gave me one of the best things I could ever have. I appreciate that. Yeah, your daughter. I really thank you. You're the man. You're the man. So so take Pastor Steve. Take his administrative, his heart, and his attention to detail. Then take Pastor Al. Take Pastor Al's loudness and multiply that by 5. That is how loud my father was. That is him to a T. So you take all 3 of these guys, you add these things together, and that's where you get my father, Barry Hussey. He was a hurricane. When he ever came into a building or into a room, he would come in and you'd be like, what just happened? He was loud. He was wonderful. He was a great encourager. He would play a cowbell up on Sunday mornings. I mean, he would do some stuff. That's where I got a little bit of my percussion from. So, you know, that's a good thing. He would do things. He would dance. And he was an administrative because he was assistant pastor at my home church. And he knew how to do all that stuff that Pastor Steve does very well. And it was, that's who he was. That's who he was. That was my father. And I, you know, he's up there with Marlon right now. They're having a good old time, you know, having a good old time with many of our other friends and family. So that's probably the best way that I can describe my dad here at CLCC. So that's who he was. So the story is, now, I should stop first. I should give credit to my mother. I should. You know what? Wives, pastor wives, Trish, Stacy, she's downstairs helping the kids. My wife, our wives have to put up with us. You know, it's tough. It's tough sometimes. So I want to give credit to our pastor wives. So can we give a hand to Trish and Stacy and Stephanie? We thank you. And if you're watching at home, honey, I love you. I love you. I want to make sure I mention that just in case. And Stacy, my mother-in-law, I appreciate you. So I just want to make sure you guys know that because it takes a lot. You know, to be a wife, it takes a lot. So, I mean, many of your wives know it's tough sometimes. We're not all glamour and gold. You know, we're people too. Lord help us. So, the story I want to tell is, and I like telling stories. If you guys haven't heard me speak before, which you guys have, but you know I like telling stories. I am energized because that was used to be one of my favorite things in sermons. When I was little, I used to hear stories. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that story. And you know who else told stories? Jesus. And the reason why I tell stories is to give you a window into my life. Because I'm a relational person. I like to be relational with people I talk to and people I am with. So this is a good way of seeing a window into my life. And how many of you know that Jesus gives us the Word of God, the Bible, to see a window into His life, into His love? And that's why I tell stories. That's why I love them. So I'll tell you this one story of my father and I. And this is a story about almost. My dad would always go down to JR's Archery down in Eden, North Carolina. And he loved archery. Let me tell you what, if there was a person who loved bow hunting more than my father. I don't think he existed. I mean, my dad loved bow hunting for deer. He just loved it. It was his bread and butter. He loved it. He was so, and so he would go, he would take me, and I was about Samuel's age, about 9, and we would go down to JR's Archery, which is about 20 minutes away, and we would go down there, and he would shoot his bow and do things like that and talk to JR, who runs JR's Archery, so, you know, it's a small business. And so he talked to him about the new hunting products they could do, about what things you could do, about people, and we had a little hunt club down there, so we talked to different people about, you know, maybe we could go hunting together and all that fun stuff. And, he would stay down there for hours. he'd stay down there for hours. And I was with him. So he'd be like, "All right, son, we're going to leave soon. We're almost ready. I'm almost ready." I heard that a lot of times. I felt like I was in one of his sermons. "Well, I'm almost done." And so it was about almost, almost, almost. And I'm like, "Man, Dad, this almost is taking a long time," it felt like. Now, when you're little, you know, everything seems so long, of course. Everything seems so long. But it probably wasn't that long. But it felt like an eternity. So I knew that after we went to JR's, we would go to this place called the Circle Drive-In. And there, I would get something I really liked. I would get a foot-long hot dog. And literally, it was a foot-long hot dog. And I loved hot dogs. Still do. You know, as you can tell, I still love hot dogs. But I'd always go down there at the Circle Drive-In, get a foot-long hot dog, maybe two, depending on how hungry I was, because it depends on how late we stayed, let's put it like that. So I would get that, and I'd be like, "Yes," because he would say, "All right, I'm almost ready to go," and I'm thinking of that hot dog. I'm thinking, I'm ready to get hungry. And then we would drive back home after I got that hot dog, and it'd be like, you know, it's a long trip, 20 minutes, but it's like, "We're almost there, son, we're almost there, we're almost home." Like, "Ah, finally." Isn't it wonderful when we finally get to that destination, when that almost is right there, and then we're like, finally got there. I mean, I know when I used to drive up to Elam, from my house, it's a 12-hour trip. And that's a long trip. That's a long trip. It's a lot longer than I wanted to drive. And I'd be like, you know, I have my little checkpoints. I'm sure everyone has their little checkpoints. If I get here, it's this many hours, this many hours. And this was the halfway mark for me right here in Carlisle. So I'm like, "All right. Only about 6 more hours to go." So I'm like, "Okay." And that's with stops and things like that. So I'm like, "All right, I got to do that." And then when I get close in New York, I'm like, "I'm almost there. I'm like an hour and a half away. Almost." But when I finally got there, boy, it felt good. So I want to talk to you about someone who had a lot of almosts and got there. And his name is Joseph. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Genesis 37, we're going to talk about a guy who had a lot of almosts, but eventually got there. Now, just give you a little backstory of Joseph. You know, Joseph was the favorite child. I mean, there's definitely no doubt about that. I mean, we can see that if we read Genesis 37. We see that Joseph got a coat of many colors, too. He was the favorite child, you know. There are some people that are the favorite child. And it shows sometimes. Sometimes they're the baby. I know. Pastor Steph would always say, like, to her father, and be like, "Oh, Dory would get away with everything." And she was so mad at her because, I mean, Dory's, there's an age difference there, and Dory is the youngest child. So Mama and Daddy were a little bit more lenient with Dory than they were with Stephanie, Pastor Steph. And, you know, first child, hey, first child's always a tough one. I'm just saying. First child's always a tough one. They get the Pastor Kurt. First child gets the brunt of everything. It's hard. I know. So I'm a firstborn. I understand. I got the brunt of everything. I had a sister. So I had to be, you know, I had to be a man, but then I had to be very careful too because I was with my younger sister. So it was it's a delicate process. So being the firstborn is tough. And she would like, "Man, you just get away with everything. You must be the favorite." And of course, Mom and Dad are like, "No, we have no favorites, of course." But it was like, but Joseph was the favorite. There was no doubt about this. He got a coat of many colors. He got to stay at the house and not have to do work because all the brothers were out there in the fields watching sheep. How you like that? "Oh, you need to go watch sheep, but your little younger brother, he's still old enough to do that, but we're going to keep him here, give him nice presents." Wouldn't you be a little angry? I know I would. I'm just saying, I would be. Let's not kid ourselves. Let's not kid ourselves. We'd be a little upset. Mom and Dad giving them all the good stuff, and we gotta go watch sheep out in the field somewhere, you know, because sheep are silly and stupid. That's what they are. They're not very smart. So you have to go watch them. But as we look around and read in Joseph in Genesis 37, 23, so Joseph came to his brothers. They stripped him of his robe and the ornate robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into a cistern. And the cistern was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down and ate their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming with Gilead, coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way down to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay a hand on him. After all, he is our brother, own flesh and blood." His brothers agreed. So when the Midianites merchant came, his brothers pulled Joseph out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver. Funny, 20 shekels of silver. Have you heard that somewhere else? Heard that somewhere else. That's how much Jesus was sold for. Just a little bit. That's something you can do your own Bible study on. Have a good time with that. 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. Man, his brothers hated him. Threw him down into a pit, or a cistern, and then sold him. Whew. Boy, his brothers did not like him whatsoever. I mean, my sister loves me now, more so. I mean, there were some times when she didn't like me as much, and that's okay. I did some mean things to her. But I don't think she ever thought about selling me to somebody. Goodness gracious. I mean, these brothers hated him. And it goes back to, first of all, the dreams that he had. That's where they hated him even more. I mean, they knew he was the favorite, but he had these dreams that God gave him, these God dreams. And he told them. And then he got this coat of many colors. And then the brothers couldn't stand him. They just did not like him at all. And I just want to say that maybe in your life today, you've had some family that have hurt you. Maybe not sold you, but maybe you had some things in your family that have hurt you and that have kept you from achieving what God has in store for you. Today is the day to get rid of it. Today is the day to let it go. Today is the day to get that hurt healed. Whatever happened in your family, whatever happened, maybe it was something that happened long ago when you were a child, maybe it was something that happened last week, maybe it was a mother, brother, son, uncle, doesn't matter. God wants to touch that area today. Because if Joseph would have stayed there, he would have never gone forth with the dreams that God had for him. He would have still been in the almost. He would have still stayed at the almost. Because he could have been mad at his brothers. He could have always kept that in them, kept hatred towards them, bitterness. And believe me, he had every right. I mean, he had every right to do that. In my eyes, I'm like, man, yeah, I would have justified, yeah, sure, you can hate your brother because they sold you off, try to kill you. But God wants to do things greater. Because if we don't let go of those things, we're going to stay at the almost and never get to the fulfillment. Amen? So we're going to talk about that a little bit later. We're going to have a little time for that at the end. So let's turn it in our Bibles to Genesis 39. So we're going to skip a chapter 2. And we're going to see another stage in Joseph's life. So Genesis 39, starting at verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, which is where he was sold. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. This man was a warrior. This man was no one to mess around with. The captain of the guard was usually a big man, and he was not someone that was not to be trifled with. Let's just say that. Bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. He lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household and entrusted to his care everything he owed. From the time he put him in charge of his household for all things he had owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Joseph is in another stage of his life at Potiphar's house. Now Potiphar's house is a lot better than the pit. A lot better than being, he still is a slave, but a lot better than where he was in that cistern. And so we see him gain a little status. We see him have a good income, a favorable position, a good job almost to his livelihood. We see some great things happen. But even though he had these great places, this is not where he was supposed to be. If he would have settled right here, he would have still stayed at the almost and couldn't fulfill the dream that God had given him. He couldn't have. How many of you are in a nice place? How many of us are in a nice place? We've got a nice job. We got nice, you know, get some nice things going on. A nice situation we put ourselves. Maybe we're retired. Nice 401k. Yeah, we're good on those things. But don't let this almost rob you of what God wants to do with you. Don't settle for the good when the great is there. Because God's got great things that he's given you, dreams, callings, and things like that. And if we get stuck at this plateau, we'll never, ever be able to go forward in what God has for us. This is a dangerous place, and especially in America, because we are a very blessed nation. And it is amazing how blessed we are compared to other nations. If you don't know about it, go overseas to a mission trip, and you'll see how blessed we are. There is no doubt about that. But there is a danger that we can stay at Potiphar's house instead of going for what God has for us and getting comfortable there, getting apathetic there. And it can happen in our spiritual lives too, doesn't it? It's amazing when we're hurting and we need God to do something that we feel like we're so much closer sometimes with God. But when things are going good, we tend to forget about God a little bit more. We tend to not pursue the relationship because we don't need him as much. We feel that way. We do need him. But we feel like we don't need him because we're not in the thick of things. Almost. Don't let that almost rob you of what God wants to do. And maybe you're at a place right now, like I said, and you don't really need much. You've set yourself really good. You've set yourself really good. In your job or retirement or whatever else is going on, you're like, all right, I'm good. Don't let that rob you of what God wants to do. Don't exchange that for the dream that God has for you, for the calling that God has for you. I mean, I love Pastor Steve's testimony. When he prayed for that job, how long was it? For a year? 4 years, prayed for that job. Finally got it. He was at Potiphar's house. He was good. He's like, yes, Lord, I got the job that you gave me. And then the Lord calls him to go to Bible school. Boy, that's a rough one right there. I'm not kidding. And there's many stories out there of businessmen, well successful in the world and giving, or athletes giving it up and going after God because he calls them. And I'll tell you one thing, and I can speak for Pastor Steve on this, that if he had stayed there, he would have been miserable. If he'd stayed there, he never would have achieved the destiny that God has in store for him or been on track to the dreams to what that he wants to experience even now. Don't let the good rob you of the great. Don't let that almost be there forever. Don't settle for the almost. So let's turn to Genesis 39. Genesis 39, we're still there. Go a few verses later, we see what happens at Potiphar's house. 19. When his master heard the story of that his wife told him, saying, this is Potiphar, this is how your slave treated me, he burned with anger. Joseph's master, Potiphar, took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. He was ticked. King's prisoners was not a good place at all. That was like solitude confinement now. It was really bad, really bad. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. That's a tough place, being in prison. I've never been there personally. I don't want to go there. But that's a tough place, because he was in a place where he thought, at Potiphar's house, well, maybe this is the way the Lord's going to fulfill my dreams. Maybe this is it. Nope. He gets thrown in jail for being righteous, for something he didn't even do. But the Lord was still with him. Maybe today you're in a place where you're like, I don't see where this can come through, where it can come true, I should say. I don't see where God can come through in this situation. I don't see where this dream can happen, this calling can happen. Maybe you're in a place where you're like, I don't see it, Lord. There's just no way. There's just no way that this is possible that you promised me. And I'm sure that's how Joseph felt. There's no way that could happen. But I love it because the Lord is still with him. The Lord is still with you regardless of whether you feel like this dream or this calling, whatever God has given you, could never happen or not. He's still the God that does miracles. He's still the God that does destinies. He's still the God that does dreams. And he can fulfill them. All of his promises are yes and amen. If he's given you a promise, he's going to do it. If he's given you a dream, it's going to come forth. But you have to take steps. You can't say, oh, it'll never happen. It's gone. It's over. In any of these situations, with his brothers, if he would have stayed bitter against his brothers, then he couldn't have gone forward with what's coming up. If he would have stayed at Potiphar's house because it was nice and comfortable, then he couldn't have gone forward. He would have just plateaued there. And then he got to prison. And things were the worst. And if he would have given up on what God had promised him, what he was dreamed about, that would have been it. That would be the end of the story. But how many of you know that God writes that story? He does. He writes that story and can fulfill that story in each and every one of us. But there is something we have to do. Even though we believe in things, even though we know God has given us these things, there are steps we can take to do great things. There are steps we can do. And I'm just giving you an example of my life. I received a calling, and many of you know this story about my testimony, that when I was around 7 or 8, that God came into my room and said, Van, I've called you to go into the world and preach the gospel. That's what he told me. And I told my dad, and you guys know the story, and he didn't believe me. And then God had said, yeah, I did tell him that, so you should listen to your son. The one time, I think. But that was the calling. That was my calling from an early age. Now, to fulfill that calling, I had an obligation. I didn't just sit around and wonder, well, if he's called me to preach the gospel, I'm just going to wait. I don't need to do anything. I'm just going to wait. And there are, now, Hear me out. There are seasons that you do have to wait for a little bit. But even in those seasons, there should still be some preparation. Because even though Joseph was in prison, he was still preparing him. He was still doing something. Maybe it wasn't exactly what he wanted to do, but that preparation was keeping Joseph ready for the next step. So in my calling, when I received that calling, if I didn't do anything, I'm not going to be able to go into the world and preach the gospel. But what I did was, I went to Bible college. I learned the Word. I have a relationship with the Almighty. Those are steps that I'm taking to fulfill the calling that God has on my life. Now, there are other dreams and other things that He's given me, other prophetic words and other dreams and things like that. I won't share that with you right now because they're a little crazy. I'm just going to say it. They're a little crazy. And it's okay. It's big dreams, big things, and that's okay that God gives you these things because they sound crazy. But when I begin to walk in those fulfillment of that, I can say, yes, it sounded crazy 5 years ago, but I'm walking in it now. Some of those dreams, some of those callings may seem crazy to you, but if you take the steps and start preparing, and it might be just something little. If God's called you to be the world's greatest baker, then what should you do first? Well, you better learn how to cook something. I'm just saying. You better learn how to burn brownies or burn toast. You better learn how to do some cooking. If God's called you to be a great athlete or a great professional football player, you better learn how to hike a ball. You better learn how to hold a ball or throw a ball or catch a ball. If God's called you for that, that's what you got to learn how to do. I don't think Michael Jordan became one of the greatest basketball players because he sat on the bench and did nothing. Or sat at home and did nothing. It's not true. He practiced. You have the same thing that God has called you to do. You have the same dreams. Do something about it. Go for it. Maybe it's not, maybe it's something that you're like, well, I don't know how to really move in this or go into this. Well, then talk to somebody. Say, what are some steps I could take to get to this place, to be prepared? And God will show them, and He'll put people in your path that will help you to get there. Take some steps, because if you don't take steps, you'll be an almost. How many of you know, when baking, if you put all the ingredients together, you bake everything up, but forget one ingredient, and we call it sugar, that cake's not going to be right. Is it? I mean, who wants to eat a cake without sugar? That almost was good, but that sugar, it was missing. I don't know if many of you guys have eaten cake without sugar, but it ain't good. It ain't good. Some people might like it, but that's okay. That's maybe what they like. But I like a cake to have sugar. If we don't have that sugar, it's almost. Almost good. Almost there. So I want to encourage you guys today. Go for it. Even if you're in a place where you're like, God, I don't see it. Maybe you're in that cistern, betrayed by your family. Things have happened. Or maybe you're at Potiphar's house and things are going really good. Things are going great. Or maybe you're in jail. Where it's like, this will never happen. I don't see how this could ever happen. God wants to bring fulfillment. God wants to do great things in you. And He wants you to get to that dream, get to that calling. Because He wouldn't give it to you unless you were able to obtain it. He wouldn't do that. Because we serve a great God. So I just want everyone to stand with me. We're going to close here. I'm going to play a song here, and we're going to stop it at the 8-minute mark, and you can tell when she stops singing. And this song is just, I just want you just to really, whatever it is, wherever place you are, whether you're at Potiphar's house or you're in a pit or whether you are in jail and you're like, God, I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know what I need to let go, what I need to do. Let Him speak to you through this song. Because even when you're waiting for things to happen, you can still be preparing. Maybe it's not the right timing just yet, but there are still things that you can do. So as we just worship with this song, let God speak to your hearts today about what He wants to do, and let some of that stuff go and get out of that plateau place and see what He wants to do with your life. Amen. Thank You, Lord, that You don't fail. Father, that You're in the waiting. You're in preparing us for what You have called us, You've given us to do. Regardless of whether we felt like we've been hoodwinked by a family member, or whether we've been where we feel like something's gone on with our family that we can't accomplish it, or maybe we're just in a great place right now. We really don't want to move because we're in such a nice spot. Or maybe we're just in a place that I don't see how that could ever happen. Lord, You make all things possible because You are the God of the impossible. We serve You. And Lord, I just thank You right now for whatever dreams have happened in this congregation. Whatever callings there are, Father, I speak release, Father. I speak hope once again. I speak life into those dead things once again, O Father. Thank You, Father, for giving them to us. Lord, help us to walk the walk, to make the preparations, to show us what we need to do to get to that area where You can give us those dreams, those callings, those things. That we can walk in our destiny that You've called us, O God. We thank You that You're not going to just leave us or forsake us along the way. Regardless of if the way gets a little bit tough at times, like it did with Joseph. But Your end, Father, is where You want us to go. And You're going to sustain us through that process. Lord, we let go of things that have hindered us. We let go of whether it be family, friends, whatever it is, apathy, comfortableness, hate, bitterness. We just let it go right now. We put it right in your lap. And we say, here, Father, we don't want it. We've laid it at the foot of the cross. We don't want it because that's not going to help us achieve where You want us to go. We set that aside today and we say we're going to walk in the destiny You've called us, the dreams that You've called us, the calling that You have for us today. And Father, even give us more dreams. Give us more callings, Father, that we may be able to walk in that as well. Thank You, Father. You're such a good God, and that You always are faithful to us, even when we're not faithful to You. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen, church. Will you guys be blessed and have a wonderful day, okay?